Welcome to Hope is Here. Happy New Year to you. January 1st, 2019. We are continuing a conversation with author Tim McAlpin. He wrote a book called The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. And man, if you missed yesterday's program, I really want to encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. Tim shared about losing his dad at the age of 12, and then actually, 10 years ago yesterday, December 31st, 2008, his son, Jay, died in a tragic, just an accident. Like a lot of guys I know, liked guns and had a collection. And unfortunately, a guy didn't check to see it was loaded and shot his precious son, Jay. So Tim speaks from experience about suffering, and I know a lot of people, because when you go through suffering, you get discouraged and Satan causes you to lose hope. And is God really there? So I want to encourage you to take 14 minutes, go listen to yesterday's program. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today, and catch that. But I want to talk some about the book today. I've been reading it over the Christmas break here, and it just really, really encouraged me, and yet also challenged me in my faith as a follower of Jesus. And Tim, in the preface there, you wrote a psalm. You concluded it with Psalm 126, verse 6. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with a harvest of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And you said, this book is my harvest of joy. And I just love that, because there's such a difference between joy and happiness. And your book's on suffering, but you said, this book is my harvest of joy. Can you kind of expand on that?
Well, absolutely. You know, when you have the Lord in your life and you walk with the Lord, God has a way of turning your sorrows into joy. And then I hung on to that scripture. And that what we go through in this world, God turns that around and helps us to be able to have benefits from it. I don't think that God wastes our sufferings. I think he is thinking about eternal benefits for us through everything that we go to. And like I said in the last show, God is building souls for eternity. He's thinking long term. And so suffering is valued in his economy. And it's one of the ways that he helps develop us. Like I said, when we think deliverance, God is thinking development. And so, you know, God had the ability to let Jesus die on the cross. God had the ability to let the disciples suffer. So God has this ability. And see, in our natural mind, we think, gosh, how can God allow that to happen? You know, when I was writing the book, I could see, I thought, well, you know, God, you're God. We don't have to suffer, but you could have made it to where we didn't suffer, but he didn't. He made it to where we did suffer. And suffering is highly valued by God, and it's what takes us through the fire and gets out the dross and the stubble and refines our soul to be gold, what God is making us to be thinking. He's thinking eternity. So it's a valuable thing when we suffer, and it's a high honor, in my opinion.
Well, I quoted Hebrews, I called it 13:8 yesterday. It's Hebrews 5:8 that you talked about in your book, and as I shared, it really opened my eyes. It says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So right. If you're listening and you're like, why am I suffering? Please know that, you know, Jesus himself, as we know, went through suffering. And, you know, Tim, I think about before he went to the cross, I mean, you know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And of course, he even asked, you know, his heavenly father, if it be thy will, you can remove this cup. In other words, if there's some other way to do this, to save men, mankind, can we do it another way? And of course, the answer was, I'm sorry, you know, no, you're going to have to do this. Then the second thing that spoke to me after he gets that bad news, and of course, his sweat, the perspiration was like blood drops, which we know was not just a fairy tale in the Bible. That is a physiological, biological fact that people can look up on Google and see. But the second thing is when he comes out of that time of stress and goes to see his three friends that he's asked to pray for him, he finds them asleep. So I know people listening, you know, think, well, God doesn't understand, but man, his own son, Jesus, went through some really tough moments there, didn't he? And that's why we serve a God that can relate to our pain and suffering, can he?
Exactly. You know, in James, it says, consider it all pure joy when you go through various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. And so I say this, and it's often when I speak and have speaking engagements, raise your hand if you would like to lack in nothing. How many of you would like to lack in nothing? Raise your hand. And everybody will raise your hand. Everybody wants to lack in nothing. I said, now, would you agree to suffer tremendously to be able to get to that point? Nobody raises their hand. Everybody wants the benefits. Nobody wants to pay the price. But suffering has wonderful benefits. In my book, I think there's a chapter in there about embrace suffering. Actually lean into it. You know, as Christ leaned into the nails being driven into his hands, he knew the outcome was going to be successful. You know, he is God. He came to show us what God was like. He came to die on the cross for our sins. There was a lot of degree of suffering in that, you know. And so, like I say, suffering is a good thing in a spiritual way.
Well, it really is. So if you're listening today, realize that maybe you're going through suffering. God has not forgotten you. Well, back to your book, The River of the Lord, The Pathway Through Suffering. You know, you talked about how God, your son's last day here on earth, how God had, through prayer time, the Holy Spirit had revealed to you about just getting in the river and floating in the canoe and just kind of putting the oars in. And in your book, right at the beginning, you shared from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, that talks about the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of that city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And so,
isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. And to have that resonate with you when you're going through such a tremendous time. God, you know, like I say, the constant in all of this is God's faithfulness, how he sustained me through this, a supernatural sustainment that as we crossed the 10-year mark, you know, has been with me all this time. And, you know, I think that River of the Lord, there's a video I've got on our website, theriveroftheLord.com, and I talk about that river, how the river of the Lord is with us here now. And the flow of that river, we get in the flow of that river and let God take us to where he wants us to go, not fighting to go to the right, not fighting to go to the left, but to trust the flow of that river and let God take you where he wants you to go, lighting your path, showing you the way.
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, you talk about that. I mean, as I was preparing to see what shows, programs I would have in 2019, I had an email that was forwarded to me from our general manager, Benson Gregory, from the pastor at Centenary Methodist. And he had said this would be a great guest talking about you on the radio show. Well, somehow I had overlooked that email 2 months ago. Yet, in God's timing flowing through the river, you know, his timing's better than our timing, isn't it?
Right. This show is going to air on New Year's Day, and I can tell you it's a more beautiful New Year's Day than what I had 10 years ago. And I look back over the span of 10 years and what I had to go through to get to this point of complete peace, complete fulfillment, complete trust and faith. And the big word I like to use is sustainment, how God has sustained me. I would never want anything like this to happen. But I would never want the experiences that I've gone through over the past 10 years to be taken from me either. So it's a price that I paid. And, you know, like God said to me, I'm only here for a few minutes. I don't let anything worry me anymore. I don't worry about cholesterol. I don't worry about silly stuff like that. God will take me home when he wants me to go. I know I'm only here for a few minutes. I don't worry about anything. I just trust the Lord. I want my light to shine. I want what I've been through to be able to be a help for other people. You know, I did a radio show myself for 6 years. our book that we wrote during the heels of this, that's just loaded with experiences that God gave us. You can get that book on Amazon.com. And we just, all of these things is built in my life now. This is who I am because of what's happened to me. And I wouldn't trade my path for anybody's.
I love in the book, you first chapter, you talked about, you know, people ask you if your son Jay's early death in life, the age of 30, is shaking your faith in God. And you said, I always answer, no, it hasn't. But it has changed my perspective forever on this present life. And you keep talking about, you know, only a few minutes that we talked about in the first program.
Right. And that's a good point. That's a good point, because it has changed my perspective. And I would say before that happened to my son, I was like a lot of people. I went to work. I did this. I did that. I was just living in the world. And then all of a sudden, when a nuclear bomb goes off in your life and you have to hold dear onto the Lord to see you through, your life has changed forever. But in so many good ways. You know, I've reached out to a lot of people that's had things happen to them since this has happened to me, and to share my perspective. Yes, it's changed my perspective because I don't see this present life anymore like I used to, as all kind of there is. I mean, I knew we were going to die, and I knew that, you know, our faith in God, we were going to go to heaven, but I see it so much more clear now. It's more alive. This life is more alive for me. I'm living life in real time now, rather than, you know, kind of being asleep. I think there's a chapter in there called Wake Up, Children. And, you know, God wants us to wake up to really the things that are going on around us, so we can use the things that's happened to us to be a help to other people, and let the glory of God and the power of God that God has imparted into us through our trials to be a blessing to other people.
Well, I love that. And, you know, you talk about getting caught up in all the things, and this is real time. And I've shared before, my dad passed away about 3 years ago, and he had a great run. He was 74, didn't accept Jesus till he was 50, but he was literally transformed the last 24 of his years of his life. But the interesting thing to me, Tim, was that when, you know, I'd done several funerals as a pastor the past 15 years, but I'd never actually dealt with a funeral director about what do you take, you know. And he said, well, you know, your dad wouldn't be buried in a suit. And I said, yes. And he went shirt, tie, underwear, socks. And I said, okay, we got to get off. And then I said, what about shoes? He said, well, he doesn't need shoes. We don't bury people in shoes. And I just thought, wow, after I got off the phone, you don't even leave here with a pair of shoes. So a lot of the stuff that we're looking at, you know, when we eternally, doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We discard the old body. We don't need it. Though one day, as Job says, I will stand and see my Creator in the flesh. So, you know, we'll get that body again one day when it's resurrected and glorified.
Amen. Well, it's going to be a beautiful thing. You also talked about your book. You said, you know, every day God seemed to be showing me new things, like how to allow my trust in Him to be present, and new ways to view God's spirit world more clearly, like listening to Him talk to me in a quiet voice of assurance of His presence. And only about 30 seconds left, but man, we got to be still to hear God's voice, don't we, Tim?
You know, God talks to me all the time, and I have people say, I can't believe you hear from God like that. And I say, well, I can't believe you don't. Because, you know, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. And I can tell you one of the things, and it started about 2 weeks before this happened to Jay, as I began to hear God's voice in a way that I had never heard it before.
Well, I want you to stay tuned with us, because over the next couple of days, you're going to hear some just wonderful, wonderful things that God has been speaking to Tim over the past couple of years. We're talking with Tim McAlpin. He is author of a wonderful book called The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. I hope that you'll tune in with us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Tim McAlpin. I'm Greg Horn on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.